babies raised from the dead in wombs. That's like so cool.
Yes, like, it is.
God doesn't give a rip what doctors think. It's nice that we have them. It's encouraging. But at the end of the day, he's God. And he's like, oh, cool, endometriosis. Let's give him a baby.
There you go.
And the endometriosis is going as well. And it's not going to be a part of your lineage. It's not going to, in fact, where it has been, or it's going to begin reversing everything. And there's going to be healing upline as well as downline. Amen. Amen. So anyways, I was going to tell you, I'm just a guy. It's all I once had somebody introduce me. They said, who are you? I said, I'm a guy. I got up, they said, this is Danny. He's a guy. I don't know a thing about him, but I was supposed to introduce him. I was like, that's the best. That's the best introduction ever. I'm just a follower of Jesus,
there you
just
go.
Like you.
Yeah.
And I planted churches for years and helped others grow their churches and help them plant churches, and I did that. And I go to South Carolina, and the Lord says, I don't want you to do a thing. This is mine. It's not yours. Now, you need to hear that because of what I'm about to share with you. What I'm sharing with you is not about my ministry. In fact, I relinquished ministry a long time ago. I relinquished my ministry a long time ago because I realized there was something God wanted to do on the earth that was bigger than my ministry. That he wasn't trying to put me in a place where I could foster something that would result in huge meetings or followers or another stream or another movement or whatever. At one point, there were things that were happening so rapidly I almost fell into that and fell into, like, this is what's happening. And the Lord says, no, you don't understand. This is my thing. It's not yours. And I'll get to a point in just a second. But in 2003, the Lord sent us to South Carolina. And there were basically a dozen people who liked each other to some degree or found out that something was supposedly going to happen. And so we met together, and the Lord just said, just love them. Just learn how to love them. And so for 2 years, that's what we did. And the third year, he said, do a conference. Some of you heard this part. And 1,000 people showed up. And we didn't know what to do with 1,000 people. We had to borrow worship teams. We had, for our first conference, we had 5 different worship teams, supposedly, coming together. But we broke all protocol, and this was the foundations, actually, of the merge. We broke every protocol there was. In fact, I was given a word by Jesus where he basically said, he read from the Bible to me out of Revelation 3, and he said, it talks about the key of David, and that what that key opens, no man can shut, and what that key shuts, no man can open. And he began giving me an understanding of my life and how I've been allowed to walk into situations and totally break protocol and somehow have favor. And that happened with Native Americans. It's just happened everywhere. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. He says, there's a difference between having a heart for God and having a heart for chasing after God. He said, I want you all your days to carry my own heart. I want you to think what I think. I want you to feel what I feel. And so as a result of that, that's the key. The key is if you have his heart. Yeah, people think Jesus is coming back soon.
He's here.
You ready? There's way too many people who don't know Jesus.
That's right.
And he says, I would that they all come to me. So I pray his heart, Lord, until they're all.
Amen.
Can you delay until they're all?
Yeah.
Well, I long for the day of his appearing. I do. But the reality is that his heart, but they all. And that became the foundation of of things at the first conference. Somebody came up to share a word, and they were speaking to me, do you want? And I just said, no, just go share it. That was from the first conference where somebody was whispering the word in my ear, as is normal.
Right.
And where you have that. And the Lord spoke louder in this ear than they were speaking in this ear. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, they want to give a word. I'm just listening to see if it's from you. And he said, I know if it's from me or not. Just give them the mic. And he said, the church will never learn discernment.
That's true.
He said, if we have to prune everything through a few people. And so I began to realize we've had maybe a dozen bad words, things that are stupid, really ridiculous. Like, God doesn't think we need to give anymore. Generosity is really not a part of the kingdom. Well, that kind of, everybody in the room, it kind of went over like a lead balloon. It was like, nah, that wasn't God. And I didn't have to say anything. And the person himself later came and he says, yeah, I don't think that was God. It was good discernment. We make such a big thing of such small things.
That's right.
And we make... we make the important things so small. So the Lord began from there. People were like, we want to keep doing this. People were there from all over the world. But we began meeting in a building probably, oh my goodness, this room half the size or less. And we would have that thing packed with over 200 people every week. There are about 600 different people that would come through there in a month period. We're meeting every Saturday night. And we were blowing up the region. People were driving 3.5 hours to come. And the Assemblies of God sent their leadership to come see what is going on in that meeting, because we want it. There was stuff that was happening. Demonized people were coming into rooms and either being delivered there or running out and getting freed in the parking lot.
Amen.
There was something. Everybody in the room was praying for everybody. There was nobody got name tags. We took them all off. We just said, if you know Jesus, you got a name tag. Because we realized that if you don't have, that you don't have to have the expertise to release things like see, walk, hear. And we had taught so much stuff, and I grew up in so much stuff. I taught so many seminars and conferences. And it was like, I reached a point, it was like, wait a second. Where does God fit in the equation?
Yeah.
Where does God fit in the simplicity of somebody who may have just met Jesus? The reality is that he moves in power. He comes on and he promises that. And so we began encouraging that. We actually brought our kids. And our kids, some of the kids were tiny. And we began understanding that they were going to be kids. They didn't have to sit around and behave, because that's all the church has taught children, is how to behave. And eventually, they behave so well that they don't ever want to go to church again. But yet Jesus said, if you want my kingdom, become like a child. And so we began recognizing that what they're doing is actually probably more appropriate in his presence than what we're doing. We sit here, we're bored, we're fed, we're taught. Okay, and we just get wore out. They're playing. They've got their cars. They're jumping around. When a fast song comes in worship, they're the first ones up there dancing. I have a picture of them doing like a single file run around the building. And over top of them, there are angels.
Yeah.
On either side, a real fire tunnel. And they have no clue. Maybe they did. But we encouraged them to speak what they were hearing. There were some times that they would speak words and it was just like amazing. Because we understood that humility comes from bending, from going low. That when you hear from the least, you actually hear from the greatest. And so the Lord taught us things that were totally breaking protocol, breaking culture, breaking things. It was a mess, 100% mess, from the time it began to the time it ended. During worship, there were bodies everywhere. There were demons that would manifest, and we would not say, take them out of the room. We'd say, leave them there. because they're going to be freed in about 2 minutes here, and you're going to take about 2 weeks out there to get them.
That's right.
And so we just enjoy the mess. We enjoy the furor of heaven confronting earth. We loved it. And we went from that from 2005 until 2011. And in 2011, I was in Puerto Rico, and the Lord said, he spoke to us, but let me back up. He'd spoken to us. Graham Cook had given us a word. He said, Danny and Karen, he said, the Lord, he says, come up here. And he says, you asked God to do a prototype church. And he said, God's going to let you. And he said, that means it's never been done before. And he said, there are people who will not like you because of what you're doing. Because what we saw ourselves as was a regional infection center. Remember that word.
That's good.
That what we wanted to do was not just be us, but we wanted to infect everything around us. That on Saturday night, we were being infected by the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, many people were involved in other churches, and our encouragement was to go and release the kingdom of God. There is no law against love.
That's right.
We say that again.
There is no law against love.
That's right.
Or you can. We began understanding that releasing His presence is what we're called to do.
Yes.
And I've been taught, I'm not going to talk about it now, I may share about it tomorrow night, because usually when we do our MO groups is what it's called, we're going to meet in a hall. And in ours we have sometimes 70, 80, 90, 100 people in it.
Wow.
It's slam-packed, we had to buy more chairs, we don't know where to put the people. And it is the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in my life. 5-6 weeks ago, we had the most crescendo of heaven in that room. People were screaming because the power of God was so evident in the room. Angels were singing with us. It was insane. And no one wanted to stop. It went on and on and on. It was crazy. So these meetings are wonderful. They serve a certain kind of a purpose. The MO groups serve a very different purpose. Overall, I can just tell you that one of my highest values is family. I hate ministry.
Amen. Come on.
I've been doing this for about 35 years. Really. I was a senior pastor at 23. I've been doing it for a long, long time. And here's what I know. The only good thing about ministry is pushing up people into the presence, into the purpose of God. That's all you want to do. You don't want to minister over people. You don't want anybody under you.
Right, exactly.
And so the Lord began shifting things and changing me. And so basically, Graham had given this word about prototype church. And I didn't know exactly what that meant, but I knew that as we were doing these mergers, that what was happening is that it was infecting and people were starting to come all over. We had people coming from surrounding cities 2 hours right around us every week. Others would come twice a month or once a month. But they would just engage, and they would tell you to this day, they'll say, where do you belong? They say, I'm a Mo family. What's that? Well, the original name the Lord had given us was Mountain of Worship. But in 2008, in a place in Nantucket, I was asked, what does prototype mean? And I responded, normally I would say, it's something never been done, but in that time, the Lord spoke out of me, and He just said, it's an early rendering of something yet to come. We always had the vision of planting all kinds of things, and my vision goes way back, actually in the days of John Wimber. In 1983, he shared a vision that he had of seeing 10,000 lights across the U.S. He never saw that. It never happened. To this day, there's not 10,000 lights across the U.S. But when he gave that word, the Lord said, remember this, it's part of your destiny. As a kid, I was like, okay. 1987, the Lord showed me a mountain that grew and became volcanic, and it splattered across the region and around the world. And that's all I knew. And he said, it's a mountain. It's a mountain of worship. It's a mountain. It's a mountain. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But in 2003, before we moved to South Carolina, I had that vision again, but this time I was in it. I was in an open vision and in a trance. And I'm standing there watching this mountain in the middle of a worship set, and I'm stumbling over my words, going, my mountain, huge, oh man. And people are like, what? What's going on with you? In worship, that wasn't prophetic. I thought, no, I was in the prophecy. You know what I mean? And the Lord said to me, he says, you haven't seen this yet, but you're about to. And the reality is that it comes out of Isaiah and it comes out of Micah. And that's the one I'm talking about. People often talk about the seven mountains. I'm not a seven mountain guy. Sorry. It doesn't mean that I'm against the seven mountains. It's just, that's not who I am. I'm after the mountain that is the chief of all mountains. It is the one that all nations stream to. It is the place where life happens. It's the place where the kingdom of God is evident. In fact, the Old Testament understanding of the kingdom of God was the mountain of the Lord's presence. And so when the Lord spoke to me, he said, what I have for you, he says, is bigger than you. In fact, when he began giving me downloads and blueprints, I said, that'll never work. Literally told the Lord that. He showed me the group. I said, that'll never work. Because I didn't have revelation. I didn't understand. I was looking at obvious things that I was seeing, but it was like it didn't make sense to me. And sometimes the timing of the Lord is the making sense of things. And then he said, I've called you to the mountain. Later on in 2008, we're sitting at this table, and in the morning somebody said, so what does prototype mean? And I said, it's an early rendering of something yet to come. And the Lord landed on me, fell on me, and he said, something bigger is coming. Oh, wow. 2011, I'm in Puerto Rico, and the Lord says, shut down the merge. Don't tell anybody, just shut it down. I'm known for shutting down three things that most Christians would say, this is a move of God. Because I want you to know something. I don't want what was. I don't want to stay in anything.
Yeah, come on.
And it's going to carry for a long time. I want to be in what he's doing now. I don't give a rip what's happening right now. I want to be in what he's doing today, tomorrow. I want to see what he's doing. And one of the coolest job securities is when you realize, I'm about the mountain. Hmm. It's a serious job security for me. Because he says it's chief of all mountains. So I looked at that and I went, what does that look like, Lord? What does it mean? And 2011, I announced that I just said, people thought, you shot yourself in the foot, man. You just killed a great ministry. What are you doing? It's like, you don't understand. That's not my heart. My heart is not about that. I want Papa. I want him to do something. 2011, he sends us to New England. Did you know the original charter of New England? I don't know if you know this. Mm-hmm. Let me freak some of you out. It goes all the way to South Jersey. He sends me to New England, and as he sends me, I send out an email telling people what's happening, and it was, you need to understand, I was cutting every tie I had in doing it. It was 100% God off a diving board with no water in the pool. That's what it was. And I hear him audibly say to me, and now it's what I've called you. When I arrived in New England, I was passing the exit, right before the exit I'm going to get off. It's mile marker 77. All of a sudden my eyes open, I saw angels on either side, huge angels on either side of the freeway. And at the end was another angel that I've had the joy of being in his company around the world a number of times. And his name's Michael. It's the only time he ever spoke to me, and he said, "Are you ready to go?" I said, "Let's do this thing."
Amen.
When I went up there, I said, "Lord, what are we going to do?" He said, "You're going to redefine church." And I said, "What does that mean?" He didn't really give me a whole lot at that point. I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he says, What is going on right now in my church is not working. He said, "I want you to take over." I said, "What?" And I've had people ask me, they said, "What are you here to do?" I said, "I'm here to take over." "What do you mean?" "I mean, what we're doing right now is not working."
Yeah.
"It's not. We're not barely touching the lost."
That's right.
And the Lord says, "I want you to do something that will take over. I want you to release the kingdom of God in a way that is not just trying to survive and get a salary and learn how to retire. I want you to take over. I want you to initiate something that will change this nation and the world." I was given a prophecy by a notable prophet, I won't tell you who, but he looked at me and he said, the Lord spoke something to him, and he was like, "Really?" And the engines cut off in the plane. And the plane starts going down. People are screaming. Literally, the things fell out. I mean, they thought they were crashing. And then the engines came back on. And the Lord says, "Do not ever disagree with what I tell you."
Oh, man.
I was like, "Lord, that was years ago, 2007. I was like, "What?" He tells me, he said this screaming. I was like, "God, no. Just Danny. You're just you. The Papa wants to use you to change the earth. He's going to do it through the weak. He's going to do it through the foolish. He's going to do it with those who don't give a rip what people think of them. Because they're not trying to impress the best of the best. They just want to impress the King."
Amen.
So, in this whole thing, we begin, and all of a sudden, see, there was something the Lord had given me, and I need to share a piece of it. I won't share the whole vision. But the vision, another vision he gave me in 1987 had to do with the place where I was and where the Lord was taking me. And I came up to the edge of a cliff. And when I got up, think Grand Canyon, and you come up to the edge of a huge plain, and I saw people for as far as I could see in every direction. I saw people marching to the edge of that canyon, and they were shouting, "We want Jesus, we want Jesus." But they were all blind. Everyone was blind.
Wow.
And I realized they're going to die, Lord. What do you want me to do? He said, "I want you to put nets against the wall here so they don't fall to their death." I was like, "What does that mean?" And later he would tell me, he said, in Ephesians 4:11, it says this, "He has given some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the mending of the nets." Most of you have never heard that. That's actually what it says. We say the equipping of the saints. But it's actually the mending of the nets.
Huh.
So I was like, wow. Please forgive my voice. I've been speaking for about 8 weeks. And I have about another 8 weeks to go before I get a real break, so that'd be nice. Pray for me.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
But what happened was the Lord, man, it was so amazing. I didn't understand that. In fact, most of this I didn't understand until about 2 minutes ago. Literally. I was taken to a place. During one of the conferences, Randy Clark came up, prayed for me, and she didn't pray for me. He just said something. Randy never prays for me. I just saw about that. I go, this guy's never prayed for me. He just looks at me the first time. He quote unquote prayed for me. He says, "God's going to give you another chance." I was like, what's that? What kind of prophecy is that? What do you mean? And then the next time he tells me something that I already knew. It's like he's not very prophetic. At least at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
I ended up on the floor, and I was gone for a long time. The Lord says, go get my Western Brian. Now, lest you think that's large, he had previously told me that he wants everything. He said, I want you to... My vision was too small, and eventually he showed me that the vision he wanted me to have was 6.5 billion. Some of you heard that. And I said, he said, everyone, anywhere. And so as a result, when he said, go get my Western Bride, I was like, cool. That prunes it down a little. Because I can't wrap my head around anything anyways. And Roland Baker was at that conference, and there had been a word to Heidi, go get my Nakua Bride. And the Nakua was a tribe, and so I was like, well, I wonder what that means. And I went to Roland, and I said, Roland, what does this mean? He says, it means your life's messed up. And, permanently. And then he said, you're going to dream about it. You're going to think about it. I literally have games. I'm not a gamer. But I have games that the Lord has shown me will be cross-platform games for kids that appeal to the addictiveness of the generation that now exists in the West. And they're all kingdom.
Wow.
I just don't have anybody to build it yet. So I'm sharing that because if anybody knows anybody who really wants to do something way cool, this one game I've got is like seriously cool. It'll mess with people. Because it's kingdom, all kingdom. So in this process, I realized that my life's going to be messed up. But then I asked him, because I remember the 10,000, I said, well, I said, how did you guys plant 10,000 churches? And he says, oh, that's easy. I've never heard anybody say it's easy to plant 10,000 churches. He said, we just do it every 5 kilometers. And when he said 5 kilometers, I heard 90. I was like, oh, every 90 miles. So for years, I've been talking about planting a merge every 90 miles. And the reason you want it that far away is because you want a lot of people. You don't want to compete with each other. You want there to be a sense of regional things. And again, I'm still struggling because, see, we met every week in South Carolina, every week, four times a month. So I was like, it's not going to work. So we move up to New England, and we start our second merge. We have two nights of merge on what we were going to do the second and the fourth weekend of every month. Or, I'm sorry, not Monday, Friday. And we do one, and the Lord says, I didn't want that. You didn't want what? I didn't want the second one. I just want the first. Okay, so we quit. We did the one. And then we had our Mo group that was exploding. And then we started some other Mo groups in our area. We now have about 7 or 8 that are happening right now. But what happened was that we were, and I was here the last time. How many of you heard the barn story? Remember the barn?
Yeah.
Some of you remember that one. How many of you not heard the barn story? Okay. Well, we started a group in Rhode Island. First night it was packed. It was like, wow, what's going on? And the reason we started is because we were having so many from Rhode Island coming to our group. We thought if we can get rid of them, we might have more space for people. It didn't help. It never dropped. Now we had a group in Rhode Island. But it wasn't 90 miles. I said, well, maybe it's 90 minutes. I went, but no, it wasn't 90 minutes. It was about an hour and 20 minutes. And not quite 90. And then this guy comes up to me. I had been praying about a barn for 6 months. I said, look, I want a barn. I don't know why I want a barn. I just want a barn. You know, maybe something the Spirit of God put in me. And I wanted to be 5,000 square feet, so crammed. I could fit 500 people in it. And I wanted to have heat and air. And as I'm praying about it, I thought, maybe I can get the Amish to help me build this thing. March 3rd, this guy walks into my house in the middle of a blizzard during a group that we canceled. And he said, he told Armin, who was here last time, the big beard guy, he said, I have a barn that I'd like to use for Kingdom. And Armin didn't know I created for a barn. And so Armin comes up and goes, hey, this guy's a barn I'm going to use for Kingdom. I said, that's it. Well, that's interesting. So I asked him, I said, so how big's the barn? He goes, it's 5,000 square feet. I said, cool. Does it have air, heating air? He goes, it does. I said, that's awesome. He says, yeah, I was thinking about getting the Amish down. Come help me build a barn. He says, oh, the Amish did build this barn. They're friends of mine. Went, whoa. So that's where we had a merge on Friday night. We've been having them now, I think we've had for 4 or 5 since then. Whatever it's, however many months it's been. And so I went, well, that's only about an hour and 15 minutes. And, you know, I read traffic flow and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't get it. So the Lord says to me, because I calculated in every 90 miles in the geographical area, square area of the U.S., it didn't work. It wasn't 10,000. I said, well, that something's wrong. And then I said, Lord, what? And he said, Danny, you're going to be once a month. And he says, you're going to own Friday nights, Saturday nights, and Sunday evenings, afternoons and evenings. He said, wait till me. And I said, yeah, but it doesn't work. And he said, I said, they're going to conflict. And he says, no, Danny. He said, and I said, doesn't work in 90. And he says, what did Roland say? I said, he said every 5 kilometers. He says, he didn't say miles. He said kilometers. So I redid everything. You math guys were like this. I redid everything to kilometers, to 90 kilometers. For years there's been a number the Lord has given me over and over and over. In fact, one of the things you'll find is that even if I've signed one of your books in the past, I probably actually have that reference in there, and it's this reference. For years. And I went 90 kilometers. Well, that actually works out to 62, but it's pretty close to 55.5555. I'm like, come on. So we began doing calculations from New England all the way down to the original New England into South Jersey. 55 merges, meaning in a month's period. Not one conflicting with the other. People being able to go to a merge every week if they want to. But not all in one location. And all of a sudden everything starts looming, and I begin realizing, my God, this is happening in Virginia right now. I just went down there and I went to a couple churches over there and I said, you guys look like a merge. They said, well, we are kind of. We just don't call it that. But they said, we came to the merge. We've been to your conferences, we listened to everything we knew. And we knew we wanted this. There's two of them. Guess how far apart they are? 55.5 miles. Guess how far Rhode Island is from where I live? 55 and a half miles. Guess how far the barn is? 55 and a half miles. I went, oh my God, what are you doing? And then I began mapping it out and I began realizing none of these were conflicted. Not one. There will be some weekends, there will be 2, 3, 4 happening on the same weekend, but none of them will be happening the same time. Guess what else? It's begun in Florida. Guess what else? Nebraska. Nebraska. Wow. Is that insane or what? San Francisco. And there's one ready to start in Texas right now. And there's one starting tonight in New Jersey. And my intent, you need to understand, my intent is that this will not be run by one. In fact, actually, we're not looking for leaders. We're looking for facilitators. Because all our job is to facilitate the Holy Spirit doing what he wants to do. It's being in control of people who want to control. Did you get that? When people step in and say, I want to run this, I go, nah, this is yours. It's not about you. This is the kingdom of God. We are decimating division in New England right now. We have pastors that have understood the mentality, this is kingdom, it's bigger than my church. I will help you facilitate it, but it can never be a ministry of my church. Because this is the kingdom of God. It's regional. That ministries cannot own it. Why? Because it's not about them. It's about region. It's about destroying the divisions. My job is to dismantle the streams and dismantle the divisions. If you read in Daniel 9, it talks about the judgment of God as Daniel's praying. And here's what he says. We are under judgment because we are divided. The evidence of judgment is division. And so my job is to untangle that mess and say, we are the body of Christ. Amen. We are his bride. We are his glorious bride. And I don't give a rip what you think of what they believe or what they think. This is the body of Christ. You want to hear something cool? There's a woman who's been coming to my meetings ever since I did a school of the Holy Spirit in Boston with the Catholics. She knows and loves Jesus dearly. She came to me about 2 months ago. I was with her again on Friday night. She came to the church. And she says, I think I'm about ready. She's a Catholic lady. She's going to start a group in Boston. Bob Jones had a word. He said, the awakening that will never end will begin in Boston with the Roman Catholics.
All right.
Is that sweet or what?
Yes.
You know, people are going, you're going to have a Catholic? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to have a Greek Orthodox who really knows and loves Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't wait till God just totally blows up this thing that we think we're the right street.
Yeah.
And he brings us together in his mountain, in his kingdom. Hey? So that's a piece of the vision. We see this emerge as being celebrative. That's what we require, basically. In order to emerge, you have to have a whole band. We won't let you do it without a whole band. Because you've got to be able to dance. You've got to be able to play. It's got to be fun. And some of you are probably wondering, why on earth is he taking that stuff off the drums? Because God doesn't confine anything. He releases it. You're going, yeah, but it got louder. Yeah, actually, it released something. I don't know if you felt that. Bob Jones always said, the drums are the cadence of heaven. You got to have them. And we don't play wussy drums. We play drums. Because that's what they're meant to be playing. Are you with me? And so, it's supposed to be celebrated. It's supposed to be a time when the kingdom gets together. We get to play together. It's like family. And we develop family. But actually in the groups, there's more family. I have people that I'm so connected to now, the family. They would tell you the same thing. They say, you ruined my life. I understand family. We all want family. None of us want to be the product of a ministry. None of us wants to be a name on a roster that gives X, Y, Z. And that's why you're useful. Everyone wants to feel like, these are my brothers and sisters, man.
Sure.
It's a dad, it's a mom, it's my kids. We want that. And so as we began doing that, the Lord began showing me that if these things happen every 55 and a half miles, we will release a net across the nation. All the way. The net I saw in 1987. Nets are intended to keep the harvest. They're intended to retain the harvest. They're intended not to listen. Not one part of the net is any better than the other. There's something huge that God's doing. I shared this with somebody that all of you would know. He's a major leader in the body of Christ right now. And I was talking with him. I'm just going to be honest with you for a minute, okay? I was talking with him. I said, you know, it's not my desire to compete with anybody. I don't want to compete with ministries or local churches. And he said, stop. Stop. He said, not one in 100 churches is even growing right now. He says, all of them are in decline. He said, I believe what you're speaking about. You know how to share this without giving away who it is. He said in Romans 16, it speaks of 6 merges. He says, what you're explaining to me is exactly what the language is regarding what was happening in Romans 16 to the households. He said, households not used there at all. He says, it was a coming together family. It was the release of what would become a household, what would become a family, a regional knitting together of people.
Wow.
And he said, I believe what you're talking about is one of the most apostolic things I've ever seen for this nation. And he says, I need to know more. But he said, suffice it to say, he says, I believe this is what the church will look like in the future.
Absolutely.
It's not about the home group. You know, people say, oh, it's about home groups. It's about it all.
Yes.
It's critical that the church celebrates. But it's not critical that the church has meetings. It's not critical that we've learned a culture actually from the Greeks,
yeah,
not from the early church.
That's right.
We've learned a culture. Sitting here like this is,
yep,
Greek.
That's right.
Totally Greek. If you were in Jerusalem, you'd probably be sitting around porches and hanging out, wherever, laying down.
Yeah.
You'd just be, you know, doing whatever you need to do. Leaning on a post somewhere. That was, and then it wasn't about the person speaking. It was about, what's God going to do? But what we've learned is we've learned how to do meetings.
Yeah.
And the better the meeting you can do, the larger the crowd you can have. But let me help you with crowds. Let me help you with the understanding of crowds. What we've developed is we've developed a culture of unsaved believers in this nation. We have people that have said the prayer that are not saved. We believe that if you say the prayer, you're saved. Let me help you. It doesn't work that way. Unless you have an encounter with the living God, you will not be transformed. And it says that you must be transformed in order for... That's the evidence of salvation.
Right.
Something happens to you. It's kind of what I was sharing earlier, where Surprise said, if you've never been, this is Surprise Satoli. I don't know how to explain Surprise to you. But I can tell you this. This is not going to go on the web, where is it? Can you clip this part out?
Okay.
Surprise does secret missions. God has privileged me to be around the world with this guy. We've done dozens of conferences. Surprise says what Heidi calls him, but that's because she's from Portuguese Mozambique. And that's the Portuguese. But actually, I have a copy of his passport, his driver's license, and Surprise. He actually is Surprise. Doesn't matter what Heidi says, he's Surprise. He tells me that. He says, oh, she always calls me Surprise. Which is what he's calling me in Mozambique. But basically, I've heard so many stories. I've heard stories his own staff hasn't heard. I was with some of them this last week. I said, have you heard this? No, I never heard that story. He's so humble. He is so, and I just drag it out of him. I go, I gotta know. And for some reason, he shares. So he does secret missions. All this has to be cut out.
Yes, sir.
He does secret missions. Secret mission that he did in 2006 resulted in 40 people in Saudi Arabia coming to Jesus. Two as a result of their, they had a dream. Two women had a dream, and they brought back 10 about each night. And then they had to get him out of the country in the back of in the trunk of a car because he was in danger. 5 months later, there was a church of 700-800 there.
Wow.
In 2013, I'd heard a previous statistic, and that was pretty high, and he corrected me. He says, no, the new statistic just came out. I said, really? This is in May of 2013. He says, yeah, it just came out this month. And I said, oh. I said, what? And he says, there's 250,000 believers in Saudi Arabia.
Wow, nice.
And we're not done. From the revival that burst in 2006. So last year, I asked him, I said, how many? He says, well, 500,000. I said, for real? He says, yeah. This year, I said, how many? He says, oh. He says, way over 1,000,000 now. And he says, but here's what's going on. He said, Saudi Arabia has now said to Israel, if you want to go bomb Iran, you can use our airspace.
Oh,
we will back you.
Oh,
see, sometimes we look at little things and we don't understand that something that God began in 2006 was leading to something that was going to happen in 2005, where God was saying, I am paving the way. I'm doing my work on the earth. From one little man who said, I'm going to go do a mission, where God tells me, he just went a few months ago. I was like, I can't find the guy. Where is he? They said, he's gone. I said, oh, he's on a secret mission. He was. Again, this is cut out.
Yes, sir.
Do not post this anywhere, please. People could be in serious danger. He went to Kuwait. I said, wow, was it good? He said, well, just let me show you one thing. And he pulls up a picture that he's taken of the newspaper that shows the crown prince of Kuwait. He says, I've become a Christian. And I realize it might cost me my life.
Wow.
But it's okay.
Wow.
I mean, and there's a picture of the guy. I'm like, come on. Dude, what do you do?
That's awesome.
Surprise set the foundations for Mo. The first conference, he said to me, do you know why God's blessing this? I said, I have no idea. He says, it's because you don't know what you're doing. And then he said, don't ever learn how. And so literally, we turned those into legalese terms for our bylaws. But basically, we said, we're following the man. We have no clue where he's going. We're not interested in trying to figure out that. We're just following him. We don't know what we're doing. We're just going to do whatever he tells us to do, one step at a time. We don't, you know, all I know is, and I'm telling you, I've been following vision. Literally, I've been walking in vision since the early 80s, 1982, when the Lord first showed me things. And I'm following him. I'm just like, whatever he says, let's just do this. If he says shut it down, we had nightly meetings in North Carolina. People were coming from 40 states, nations around the world were flying into Raleigh, driving 3 to 4 hours to come to our little place in the middle of nowhere. We had people from Toronto, from Brownsville, from Smithton, other moves of God that came and said, this is the next place. And after 10 months, the Lord says, shut it down. I said, what? I said, isn't this what we're doing? And he says, is it? I said, I thought this is what we're doing. I thought this is revival. He says, is it? See, here in the States, we think revival is are these protracted meetings. And here, we get happy. But when they ask for revival in other nations of the world, they get harvest. I believe there's a harvest.
Yeah.
There's 315 million. Americans, and all of them are on my watch, and they're on yours too.
Yep.
There's 315 million Americans, and we're so concerned about the gay issue, the abortion issue, every other issue, that we are unconcerned with sharing the gospel with them, which is the only thing that will stop them from killing their babies, the only thing that will break the power of the freedoms that they don't have in their life. We missed the point. We think righteousness is legislated. No, righteousness comes only through Jesus Christ. Righteousness comes only when people encounter God. And if we fail to do the one thing that we have to release and share with people about Jesus, then we have failed miserably. And the reality is God's not interested in us fishing in each other's ponds and our aquariums. He's actually wanting every person here to go into the world. Your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, uttermost parts. I shared the other night, we just took a team of 12 to Africa. Honestly, it was the hardest trip, that team that I know that they went through. It was difficult for me. There was so much warfare. There was so much stuff. There were demons that were coming out of people all the time. Just radical, insane. Just manifesting in the meetings all the time. It gets old. I looked at them, I said, I'm so proud of you guys. I said, you actually believe what Jesus said. I think Jesus likes you guys. Because you actually took it very much to heart where he said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. I don't think anybody's exempt from any of that. We think we are. We think we don't have it. God doesn't care if you have it or not. He's giving you authority.
Amen.
And you might just find that that authority works better in another country than it does here. You might find that your destiny, your purpose, the call of God in your life might not be in America.
Amen.
You might find that there's a release through your life. And there's a harvest all around you when you set foot in another nation and go, oh my gosh. I've had a week before. We had revival has broken in Poland and in Europe. It broke. I was here right after that in January. The meetings have not stopped. Across, out in the open, people coming to Jesus, people being filled with the Spirit. The meetings are, it's amazing how many people after that meeting, how many, Sean Foyt, many, many, all of a sudden now they're all going to Poland.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's good.
It's Papa. Papa's up to stuff around the world. You might find there are places you've never been that you're afraid of going that God says, but you don't understand. You're about to reap a harvest there. What greater harvest than to reap a difficult, hard harvest? And say, man, nobody's coming to Jesus there. And it's like, and you go, and there he is. It's like, come on. She got a bus. I took it.
Yeah, that's good.
These places, these regional infection centers, aren't intended to provoke. Aren't intended. In fact, what I'm doing tonight is not normal for Merge, but I had to explain it to you. There's a freedom. It's not normal to have a band like this. It's normal to have people coming together who are musicians who've never played together. And they meet for an hour ahead of time to just figure out how the flow is. I told them, and we've just begun it again in New England, up in where we live. Because when we began, we told people, we don't want you to do any songs that we've done before. We don't want Bethel, we don't want Vineyard, we don't want IHOP, we don't want anything, nothing. We want, we believe God has put within the DNA of the land and the people here much more grace, much more power, much more significance to break through, particularly in this area. They may borrow your song in Bethel. That happened with us in South Carolina. There are things that God wants to release the creativity here, not just copy and emulate what's happening everywhere else.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, I think it's time for everybody to get drunk. Everybody stand up.
Okay.
Tomorrow night is where?
400 Jefferson Avenue.
400 Jefferson Avenue.
Rahway.
If you come and there are like a zillion cars, that's exactly it. We will cram. If we've got to fill every room in that house, we will. It's going to be fun. And I just want to just remind you that. Bring whoever.
What time?
It's at 7, right?
Sure.
7. And incidentally, the reason we did this at 5 is because we recognize Mondays most people work, and so we don't want to get out of here. If we, our merge on Friday night, we got out of there 11:30, I think it was, when we finally, 11:30, somewhere in there. It was late, and that's not abnormal, because of God touching people. Open your hands up. There's not a person I know who doesn't need more of the Holy Spirit, eh? And in fact, one of the things I've learned is that usually the inability to receive the Holy Spirit is because we're so mental. We're so focused on the brain. Let me give you a really quick understanding. Never listen to your brain. When it comes to spiritual things, never listen. Lists don't work, you know. This side has more than the other. And so therefore, this is wisdom. Don't listen to your head. Secondly, this is going to blow some of your minds, but it's okay. I need to. Because this is where your problems come. Don't listen to your heart either. The Bible says that your heart is desperately wicked above all else. It's deceitful and lying. This is where people fall into relationships. And they go, oh my gosh, I got trapped. This is where people, let me help you. Where how you learn how to understand, okay? You see the beautiful car on the showroom floor. You take it for a spin. You calculate, it's more than I can really afford, but it's close. We'll do it. God will help me. Because I really like it. I really need it. I really want it. And you're going by your heart. And as soon as you drive off the parking lot, then the real thing kicks in. That's not your heart. It's called your gut. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And your gut kicks in. You go, my God, what did I do? I was stupid. I am stuck for however many years you're stuck for. That was a dumb decision. Buyer's remorse sets in, and your gut is turning over inside. Like, I'm stuck. What can I do? Never listen to your head. Never listen to your heart. Listen to your gut. You can listen to it positively. You can do what it tells you to do. And when the Holy Spirit leads you, he says, don't do that. Don't do that. When he says, do this.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of your gut. Okay, shut the other stuff off. It's not worth it. It will create a lot of pain. So in the coming days, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to begin flowing through you. I might have shared this the last time. Out of Isaiah or Ezekiel 47. 47, yes. With a river that flows. Most of us have learned to sit in everybody else's river. Heidi comes to town, we all just sit there. We're just loving the river, man. This lady carries a serious river. Bill Johnson comes, whoa, there's a river. Whoever you want to name. And we sit in their river, we enjoy sloshing in the river. But if you really want to know what it's like, where you don't have to keep repeating yourself and going back to another conference and another conference and another conference and have to keep being refilled by everybody else's river. Because you need to understand, if it's not your river, it will not sustain you very long. And so you begin releasing the kingdom of God. You begin releasing the activity of heaven. You begin praying for people. You begin releasing healing. You begin releasing the miraculous. You begin responding to what the Holy Spirit says. And he says, do this. You go, okay, I'll do it. I don't care. You know, who am I? I'm not trying to impress anybody. I don't care. I'm just going to release it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it at work. I'm going to do it at home. I'm going to do it on the streets. I'm going to do it grocery stores. I'm just going to release it. You begin releasing it, and all of a sudden you feel like you're slopping in the river. It's what is. And then you realize, man, it's getting deeper. And eventually you're swimming in that river, and that river is over you, and there is life in that river, and there is life on the banks of that river, that people actually come to you and they go, man, what you got on you? I just got in the river. Can I get in the river? Yeah, find your own. I don't mind if you borrow mine until you find yours, but just, you want your own river.
Yes.
You want history. You want your own stories. Okay. So now here we go. Holy Spirit. We're family. This is your beloved family in New Jersey tonight. And you said if we ask for fish, you won't give us a stone. If we ask for bread, you're not going to give us a scorpion or a snake.
Hmm.
If we ask for your Holy Spirit, oh man. Oh man, just ask him.
Come.
Your Holy Spirit, come.
Come.
Come on me.
Come.
Come on me. Don't come in the room. Come on me. Come on me.
Come on.
Come on. For I receive you. Just invite him. He hears you. More. It comes. More, Lord. More, Lord. Put one of your hands on your belly. Just put one of your hands on your belly. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. That's where it's coming. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill. Fill your kids. Fill your kids. More, Lord. Fan into flame again. Fan into flame the fire of our youth. Fan it, Lord. Fan it. Release it, Papa. Release it, Papa. Release it, Papa. Fan into flame. Fan into flame. Fan into flame. Fan into flame. Lord, I remove limitations. You remove limitations. Lord, you hate governors on your people. You hate compressors on them. You don't quiet them down. You release them. They are your voice on the earth. Fan. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill. Full. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. Full to over beyond. Beyond, beyond, beyond. Beyond. This is not a head job. More, Lord. More, Lord. I release the fire of God all over you. More, Lord. The question is always, how much do you want? How much do you want? It's always that. Some of us think a little dab will do you. I want to be inundated. I want to be totally rocked by His presence. I want to be totally inundated by His presence. Oh, He filled head to toe and parts of me that I don't even know. I want to get lost in His presence and never find my way out. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Shiana Basada Kaiba. Here it comes. Just let it come. Let it come. More, Lord. Let it come. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fan of the flame. More, Lord. Forward. Take me further than I've ever been. Take me to places I've never been. Take me to places I never knew existed in you. Take me beyond the galaxy. Take me beyond the place. The place that is ever increasing. Never. The creation never stopped. Creation never stopped. He still creates. He is the creator. It's his name. There are things that exist now that didn't exist a minute ago. There are things in you that exist now that didn't exist a minute ago. There are things he's doing in you. Deep. He's releasing things in you that have never been released. That you've never seen. You've never known. There's healings that have begun that you've dreamt of. There it goes. There it goes. More, Lord. Fill your people.
Yes.
Fill your body. Fill your body, Jesus. Fill your body. Fill your body with you, Lord. Fill your body with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill your body so we are so undone, Lord, that this group here alone will be the ones that will set ablaze a city and a nation. Lord, fill your body. Fill us. We don't care who we are, where we've been. But Lord, tonight, fill them. Fill them. Give such a passion, such a joy to releasing the kingdom right now. That tonight, there's a baptism of you and your power. Lord, that would make the book of Acts pale in comparison. That will actually give us a true understanding of the book of Acts. That it was a pilot project. It was just the beginning.
That's right.
It was not the fullness. But release the fullness. Here it comes. You should be feeling that now. It's healing all up and down your back. There it goes. I just release complete healing. I command this assignment against your life.
Yeah.
Be gone now.
Come on.
No more. No more. There it is. Full. Sorrow, grief, leave now. There it goes. Garment of joy for spirit of heaviness. Garment of joy for spirit of heaviness. There it is. It's all off of you now. It's all off of you. There it is. It's freedom. The dance is coming back. Really, yes. There it is. More, Lord. Shiyamasa. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. There comes. Some of you are feeling heat on top of your head. There's a reason. More, Lord. Light the fire, Papa. Light the fire, Kuramasa, A.K. Shane. More, Lord. Light it. Light it, light it, light it, light it, light it. Shumbaba Sekehe. Lord, I release on these in this room an understanding of the authority they have. That they're not those who have been called to a battle that is undoable. But they've been called to release the kingdom of God everywhere. Everywhere. Bold, 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 bold. The lions, more, Shiva Baba Sata Iki, Dalit, Shiva Baba Sata Iki. There it is. Saw a picture of a vice. Some of you have been wanting to be freed from stuff, but you don't know how. We're family. We're family. And family, we don't really give a rip what you've done. We love you. We love you. And the vice is literally holding you. It's hard for you to even receive the Holy Spirit. Because you feel like this thing is just there and I gotta get rid of it. But you're afraid. You're afraid of shame. But there's no one here to shame you. You're afraid of being embarrassed. But there's nobody here to embarrass you. We're family. Now it doesn't matter how deep, how dark, how sinister it feels like your vice is. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. He wants to free you. He wants to break the power. The stuff that's on your life tonight. He wants to free you from the vice. It's demonic. It's held you. You can't get out of it. You're trying. You tried. You prayed. You repented. You fasted. And it's still not gone. You want the vice broken, whatever that vice is. I'm not asking you to speak it out to me or anybody else. But I believe the Lord's authority is here tonight to break the power of it. There's going to be freedom tonight. If you want that, I want you to just raise your hand. Just raise them up. Just raise them up. Papa's going to break it. He's going to break it off. It can be greed. Give me things where there's jealousy, there's bitterness, there's anger towards others. People hurt you, wounded you, stolen from you. Stepped in a place where you thought you should be. It's got you. But these things that hold, tonight, Lord, I speak to every one of these things. And every person, Lord, who has their hand, who's been humble enough to say, me, get me. Stop it. Stop it. I break your power. Some of you have generational things. Moms, dads, have the same issues. You know, I guess I'm just like that. No, you're not. You're a child of the Father. You're a daughter of Abraham. Freedom. Here comes more. See, there's something about unrestricted freedom. When the sun sets free, it's free indeed. There's not all kinds of controls and laws and systems. God's not a self-help program. God's not for us to. God delivers. God sets free. If you don't have God, you better do the total stuff. But tell me, the power of God sets free. This speaks to the reality of another verse that you've heard many times when I speak this over here. Where the Spirit is Lord. Where the Spirit is Lord. You guys, it's in you. You felt that. Where the Spirit is Lord. This is actually much more accurate. Where the Spirit is Lord, there's freedom. Holy Spirit, Phil. Spirit, become Lord. In our lives, become Lord. Spirit, become Lord. Spirit, fill us until you're Lord, until you rule, own, saturate, overwhelm. Spirit of God, come. More. Even further. Even deeper. Deep and wide. Full. Freedom. Speaking over yourselves. Freedom. Speaking your belly. Freedom. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. 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 The Spirit is Lord. When the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. When the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. When the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. When the Spirit is Lord, 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 there's freedom. There's freedom. Breakthrough night for some of you, many of you actually. It's breakthrough. 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 It's really breakthrough. This nation is going to be harvested by those who love. I believe that we will carry fruit like we've never carried in our lives. I believe we will all cross through. I believe that those who have been so unbelieving will be shocked when they realize they were wrong. They were wrong, that what they were hearing was a deceptive spirit that had nothing to do with it. With the eternal purposes of God, but had to do with their own fears and their own need for recognition in an hour that's dark. Father, right now I release the voice of the Lord into and rise to people who will believe the two. Who will believe the two. Who will believe those who carry, who carry, who carry the heart of God. Fill them, fill them, fill them all, fill them all, fill them all, fill them all, Papa, fill them all, fill them all, fill them all. City, which is you. The fire of God is on you. His fire is on you. And there is no end. There is no end. There is no border. There is no border. It's too big. It's too big. It's bigger than you. It's further than you. It's kind of awesome. It's okay, it's okay. Lord, tonight I call in those who just want more. Lord, from around the region. Lord, from these great cities that are all stuck on top of each other. Lord, I call in the hungry. I call in the thirsty. I call in, Lord, the children who don't know your name yet. I call in, Lord, those who will be this incredible cloud of witnesses who just want your presence, who just want to facilitate and make places available for you. I call them in, Lord. I call them in, Lord. Lord, that in this region, in New York, all through Jersey and Pennsylvania, all through this region, Lord, there be something more than just meetings. But I ask that you bring in musicians, that you bring in those who don't even know they're musicians yet, that you bring in those, Lord, who will facilitate in song a path to your face, a path into your presence. Bring them in. 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 And Lord, in this group here, just tonight, raise up what needs to be raised up. Raise up. Raise up. Raise up. This is the normal you bring in.
that other stuff doesn't work. It's just religious stuff. Lord, I ask that you sustain on every person tonight. On their rides home. As they sleep tonight. As they wake up. As tomorrow, Lord, they realize that we were in the glory last night. And that you carried us from glory to glory. That there's an ever-increasing glory. That by tomorrow afternoon, Lord, we'll be more saturated than we are now. By tomorrow night, Lord, it's going to be hard just to not have anything but your presence. But Lord, there'll be an increasing glory on all. We walk in your glory. We would understand the normalcy of your glory, the awe of living in your presence, our face ever beholding yours. Yes, Lord.